All right. Hello, everybody. It's Mike and Abnett with this week's Sunday School lesson. We're in Proverbs still, doing chapter 15 and 16, 15:33 through chapter 16:11. And we are going to focus on pleasing God. God's people should seek to please Him in their attitudes and their actions. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the time that You've given us, Lord, to study Your Word, to open up the truth of Your Scriptures, Lord, that we may navigate this journey that we're on in this world, Lord, and especially in the days that we find ourselves as we will be facing the challenges of change, without a doubt. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to face these days. Give us the words that You would have for us to use to help others know who You are as Lord and Savior through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that You open up our minds and our hearts to Your Word, to Your truth, and may they be Yours only. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so focus on the attitudes and the actions. As we move into this week's study, we need to look at some of the things, some present perspectives on things. And I know there's a storm of division throughout our land in everything. I mean, everything you look at today is about division. Divide and conquer. A nation divided against itself. Okay, so, and this is a quote from some of the things that I'm going to show you today in terms of our present perspective. You need somebody to hate. So, in Newsweek, just the other day, July 24th, 2020, it says, the headline was, "Narcissist and psychopaths are more likely to refuse to wear masks, says new research." All right, does that give you an idea of where we're going? And you can see how they've now labeled those of us that are not wearing masks as narcissists and psychopaths. Hey, we have a mental condition. All right, and this was in Yahoo Life. It's okay to yell at strangers who don't wear masks. Interesting picture there, don't you think? Again, this is, and this article, if you read it, goes through a process of how do you go about a strategy of attacking someone in public that's not wearing a mask. And then this was ABC News talking about demonizing the enemy, a hallmark of war, and this is from back in January of 2006. So propaganda, both by governments and the private media, has evolved over the years as media has evolved. But some say the principle remains the same. The secret in propaganda is that when you demonize, you dehumanize. As James Forsher, a film historian and documentary filmmaker, who has studied propaganda films and who is an assistant professor of mass communications at California State University at Hayward. When you dehumanize, it allows you to kill your enemy and no longer feel guilty about it, he said. That is why during World War II, a lot of caricatures became animals. You can kill a monkey a lot more easily than you can a neighbor. And since he mentioned World War II, I'm reminded of an event. I think it was in a Polish community, but I may have forgotten that detail. But it was about a neighborhood, a community that had lived peaceably together, Jews and the folks in the community. They were non-Jewish. How for generations they had lived peacefully together, worked together, played together, schooled together, all these things happened. And then in one, as World War II progressed and the propaganda kept moving forward, as Hitler dehumanized the Jews and placed blame on basically just about everything for what was happening on the Jews, that this otherwise peaceful community that had lived together for years slaughtered the Jews, killed all the Jews in that community. They had been dehumanized. They had been made the enemy. They had been called animals. And as a result, the slaughter occurred. It says, "You need somebody to hate," Winter said. It was true of Hitler. It was true of the Kaiser. It was true of Ho Chi Minh. Yes. And then this is something I pointed out last week. This is from a Rockefeller Foundation document about scenarios for the future of technology and international development. 2010, and it's called Lockstep, and it talked about the technology that would they foresaw. They said technology trends and applications were we might see. Scanners using advanced functional magnetic resonance imaging technology become the norm at airports. Think about our security stuff now. And other public areas as public areas to detect abnormal behavior that may indicate antisocial intent. All right, key word there is intent, antisocial intent. Think about what we're talking about the mask. All right, now they're dehumanizing people that refuse to wear the mask. Need somebody to hate, need somebody to blame. And so, you know, if there's any spread of the coronavirus now, it's what? It's all about those people that refuse to wear masks. All right, so we see these things happening, the media, the propaganda, the name-calling, the shaming, you know, even the president this past week got into it, you know, be patriotic and wear the mask. All right, so, and then, of course, since we're talking about Christian perspectives here, we'll look at Breitbart, and it says the New York Times blames evangelical Christians for coronavirus. And this is the thing we have to understand. The church is not going to win in this battle. If the church does like what the church is doing today, especially. But you're not going to win. You have to understand that. It doesn't matter which direction you go. Just in the days of Rome, you're going to find that the Christians will be ultimately at the blame of everything. Just like what happened with the Jews and Hitler. We're going to see just like what happened in Rome in times of Nero. It's all going to flow to the Christian as the blame. You know, of course, the hate speech is, you know, if you say anything against the culture, you're going to be labeled. Again, remember, this is all about dehumanizing. Wearing a mask is dehumanizing you. It takes away the social separation, not being with loved ones when they're dying, not being able to go to a funeral, not being able to gather in church services and going to a church service where you have to social distance, no handshaking, no hugging, no singing, no this, no that, you know, and it's not going to change. You know, because the pandemic of some sort, the pestilence is not going away. And like I tell folks, if you read the CDC about the phasing scenarios that the CDC has come out with, then you understand that they added in flu-like, pneumonia-like, respiratory symptoms to the COVID-19 thing. So therefore, as soon as the flu season kicks in, everything again will be COVID-19. But anyway, you see this happening. You see that there's a blame shift toward evangelical Christians, and of course, just like what's happening with the Black Lives Matter, again, it was the white Christian, ones that were the problem. You got a take down Jesus, decapitate Jesus, and to burn the churches, and all these things that we see taking place here and around the world. And it says in Luke 21, verse 12 through 16, 12 and 16. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Folks, this is what I see happening. We've moved into a whole new area. This is an anti-Christ movement. It's so difficult to explain this. We lose sight that everything that we see is about the battle between Satan and the return of Jesus. It's Satan and God. That's the battle. I mean, and everything. Think about the planet, and nature. Think about that for a second. It says it groans under the burden of sin. So all of it is about this battle. Remember, the first sin was Satan, the angel going against God. And this is the rebellion. This is it. So everything is happening. So what you're seeing now is an anti-Christ movement. Marxism, communism is anti-Christ at its foundation. And that's what we're dealing with here. The one world government, an anti-Christ movement. The return of the Tower of Babylon, Nimrod, one world government, one world religion, one language, one everything, and used through the web, the internet, the connection, the G5. None of this is separated from the battle between Satan and God. And we have to see that. Now, as we get into the lesson, we look at this section, we look at Proverbs 10 through 22. Solomon gave precept after precept of wise counsel, truth rooted in the very nature of God. The wisdom of God is both particular and general, particular addressing the issues of life often in detail. In general, God's wisdom is comprehensive in addressing a whole host of the challenges of daily living. God's wisdom supersedes all other sources of wisdom. If you're getting wisdom outside of the scriptures, it's secondary to what you get from God. His is the ultimate wisdom. It's the only true wisdom. All right, Solomon called God's people to pursue the wisdom fully revealed and embodied in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. To know Jesus is to know the wisdom of God that changes how we think and act. We respond to God's pursuit of us by pursuing Jesus. And this is the thing we have to, again, God is pursuing. Remember, he says, he wishes that none should perish. This means he has pursued, he is pursuing every person on this planet. He loves you more. He pursues you. He knows you better. He desires you to come into his family. That's who he is. And what he wants is for us to make sure that we share this gospel message to as many people as possible. To pursue God's wisdom means to pursue God himself. The text, and now we'll get into the verses. Let me reach back here and grab some scripture. And I want to, especially as you go back and we look at those first slides and we talk about what's happening in our world today, think about, and as we go through this study, think about these words from Ezekiel 14, chapter 14, 12 through 11. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when a nation sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Okay? And then you combine that with the verses I read in Luke 21, 12, and 16. So understand the time and the how important the wisdom of God is in the days that we find ourselves, as this all these things are happening. Because we know there's no doubt that the land is under judgment. You can't think that it's not. All right, here's another section from Ezekiel 7, chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. Behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up. Okay, so again, it just goes back, and we're going to continue with that, those verses in just a few minutes. But understand that as we go through these verses, we need to really understand the significance of our attitudes and our behaviors in the days ahead. All right, in verse 33, chapter 15, verse 33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. So fearing the Lord, again, we go back to this as the foundation of all wisdom and knowledge. It says, what should be our interest as well as our duty? And that is to submit to our God and keep up a reverence for Him, the beginning of wisdom, instruction, and correction of wisdom. It's surest guide of our way. So you want to, we have to, as we move through this journey, where do we turn to help find guidance in this journey? In awe of God. The wisest counsels and chastisements that we, when we say or do unwisely. So if we're grounded in these wisdom texts, in the fear of God, in the fear of our Lord, awe, respect, submission, then those things are going to help correct us and counsel us as we move forward. Humility, those who humble themselves shall be exalted here and hereafter, over and over again. You know, we go to that second Chronicles, you know, if a people will humble themselves. Well, again, this is why this is continuing in this nation. There's not a humility here. There's a denial of what's happening. I see this as the biggest thing. A denial or just simply the absolute, because we're so disconnected from Scripture, we can't recognize what's happening. You know, it's like the verses that tell us, hey, you can recognize the weather. You can see that. You can project the weather, but you can't see the times in which you find yourself. You can't see it. It's just like it doesn't. We see none of this happening. And everything's going to go back to normal. Tomorrow, the switch is going to flip, and everything goes back to normal. We're going to be right back in our church services, in our buildings, in our classes, everything's going to go back to normal. So it's almost like we've lost this disconnect, and we're not humbling ourselves and seeking God. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. So gain with injustice, man may grow rich for a period through fraud and oppression and possess wealth and power by worldly measure, but of little value in God's kingdom. And now, and understanding, you know, if you haven't figured out that we're under a communist assault on this land. Communism and Marxism is the desire, and of course, Mark was a Satanist. He wasn't an agnostic or an atheist. He was a Satanist. If you read his words, you'll know, and he's specifically says that he worships Lucifer. You understand that this is an antichrist system. And as such, the desire is to create a heaven on earth in the image of man. And so you start first with a false premise that man is inherently good. And of course, Scripture tells us that man is not. He's evil. He's got an evil heart. Who can know it is so evil? And all you got to do is look at what's happening in our streets in America and look at the persecution of Christians and others around the world, and you know the heart of man. But the idea of socialism is that we're going to promise you all this free stuff. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be delivered to you. You know, don't worry about working. We're going to make sure you get an unemployment check or whatever. We're going to give you a stimulus check, and you're not going to have to worry about it. Everything's going to be lovely. Promise free education, free. So that's the fraud of socialism, communism, Marxism. That's the fraud. And once they're in power, and this, I'm not making this stuff up. All you got to do is look at it. It's all out there to see. If you want to see, well, how many millions of people have been murdered and are being murdered today in the name of communism, socialism, Marxism. It's out there. So once they get in power, these elitists that get in power that have promised you all of these things, guess what happens next? It's the oppressions, and all the property is now theirs. Everything has to run through them, and you get what little bit they determine is equal, equal. Okay, so this is where we're at. It, better a little with righteousness. So a small estate, honestly gained, brings personal satisfaction, happiness, contentment. When combined with right use, is of far greater value both here and in eternity, especially when you look at the ultimate judgment seat of Christ. Ill-gotten gain, ill-kept gain, ill-spent gain, wisdom gained in the fear of God is far more valuable than any earthly treasure. And we go to accountability established in Proverbs 16, 1, 4, 5, and 9. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. And think of Balaam in the Old Testament scriptures where, his heart was for the bribe. But then his instead of cursing the people of Israel, what happened? He blessed them, and he kept doing it over and over again, even though it bit his heart. And of course, he was judged for his heart. And so we see that. So think of that as you go through this. Sovereign. God is sovereign. But we are responsible. He orders our words. We are responsible to speak them. And that, in speaking them, that means, what I think it means is that your heart speaks in line with the words that God is guiding you to. Just like the words of Balaam were good, but his heart was not. And we were going to be responsible for aligning our heart and the words that God speaks or the actions that God is directing as sovereign God in our life. So he's sovereign. He is sovereign. We are responsible. He orders our words. We are responsible to speak them. Verse 4, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And okay, so when we look at what's happening in our world today, just as happened in Ezekiel, God uses a people to bring about, an evil people to bring about judgment over Israel. Right now, what we see happening in our streets is God is using wicked people to bring about judgment. So even the wicked, all right, even the wicked for the day of disaster, even the wicked will bring glory to God on the day of judgment and eternal punishment. And eternal punishment, guess what? What are they going to do? They're going to submit to the Lord. And they're going to recognize all of this. So, too late. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. So we go to verses I was telling you about earlier, Ezekiel. And actually, I'm going to add to this. We're going to go Ezekiel 10 to 13 instead of just 11 and 12. So because again, this goes to the proud, to the pride. Make America great again. Anything where you, it's okay to have pride in your nation, but it's not okay to replace God with your pride, with national pride, whatever kind of pride, national or individual. So it says, Ezekiel 7:10-13, behold the day, behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. So this rod has blossomed through as a result of the pride, that pride leading to violence. None of them shall remain, none of their magnitude, none of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. The prideful, the time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. So again, this goes back to not going unpunished. The year of Jubilee, the 50-year Jubilee, didn't happen in Israel because what? Babylon had come in against Israel and taken over. So they, guess what? There's no returning of the lands and things that were sold, and all these things just ended. And we're going to see that, buying and selling. All right? Proud of heart and detestable to God, and will not escape their accountability before the Lord. Verse 9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So they plan their course, led by the heart, absent of the wisdom of God. So the things that are being planned, the things that are happening in this world right now, are, you look at our government, you look at our government leaders, do you think that they're consulting the Lord, looking at his scriptures, bending the knee, praying and seeking his wisdom and guidance? No. It's obvious. How can you have a nation that it is, says it's of the Lord, but yet it's aborting 70 million kids, and that doesn't even count the abortifacients, the birth control pills, IUDs, all these other instruments that we use. Proud of heart, detestable to God, will not escape it. Where are their hearts? Where's their plans? Are they seeking God's wisdom? The Lord establishes. He determines our steps because he alone can see the path from beginning to end. All right. So as we move through this journey, God does not interfere with our liberty, and we will be accountable for the steps we choose. All right. So, and this is a difficult thing to understand, in that he determines our steps. So I don't know. In my mind, I'm thinking, how many times have I done something that I didn't want to do or I didn't desire to do, but I did anyway. And, you know, I feel the stress of that. I feel, but God uses all of this. He is, and nothing that is done that's not guiding us to a place he ultimately leads. So when we look at like Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? I think, you know, most of us have been there. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And really, it points out that how little control we have. We think we're, you know, have all this control, and it's all about us, and it's, you know, we've got all this power, and, you know, all I got to do is think about it, and boom, it's there, and you know, it's all of these things, but yet it's all directed by God, just like, you know, what God did in Ezekiel, bringing it back to Ezekiel, where he's directing these external forces to bring judgment on his people because of their continued disobedience and all the things that come with that. Next, we look at the sixth thing God hates. in Proverbs 17 and 18 and 19. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Again, look at our nation. You know, you restricted, again, you go back to the abortion thing that's happening in this country, and you just have to shake your head. A heart that plots wicked schemes. Yes, there's all kinds of wicked schemes being plotted. You've got people during this pandemic that are profiting to such levels that it boggles the mind. Our leaders in government that have insider information on stocks and all these things that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars. All the main corporations that are just, you know, have on record just blowing the charts with their stuff while the small business owners are being shut down. I mean, it's just crazy to see what's going on. Feet eager to run to evil. I mean, we see this happening throughout our land. Number of people the last statistic I saw is 53% of Americans are now behind the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a communist socialist movement. A false witness, you know, all you got to do is the things that are happening with this COVID-19. It boggles my mind to watch all the numbers that are coming in, knowing how they're manipulating all this stuff. I mean, it's just, all to move us to a certain place, transform this nation. And like I said over and over again, we're the last nation that stands against the one world government happening. And we're moving fast to become part of it and maybe a main player in that new one world government. One who stirs up trouble. You know, again, we see this stirring, all these things coming against and dehumanizing and demonizing certain individuals and parts of society. And we see all these things happening. Motives matter. Motives matter. Again, we're going, God understands. It's not just the, you know, we see the outside, but God knows the intent of the heart. He knows what's going on in the heart. In verse 2, it said, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. All right, pure to them. While we are easily self-deceived, God knows our true motives. Good deeds done with wrong motives is dishonoring to God. Romans 14:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So he knows the intent of our heart. You know, we see all kinds of people doing good, but what are the motives? What is the heart behind it? And we see all these people right now that are doing all these things in the streets of America, protest, not even protest, they're pure out and out, riots and destruction. They believe that what they're doing is purely justified. It's a pure movement. It is everything good and nothing bad. And they have no concern about those homeowners or businesses or any of that. They have no concern because everything is justified because their motives are all in their mind are pure and good. Verse 10, the lips of the king speaks as an oracle and his mouth does not betray justice. Again, this goes back to what we've talked about, the wrong interpretations of Romans 13 and in Second Peter. Well, we have this idea about obeying authority. So again, it says his mouth does not betray justice. So it does not betray justice. The king is to make decisions based on the wisdom of God. Okay, like I said earlier, do you think our government leaders are making decisions based on the wisdom of God? All right, B, under mandate, they are So the king, authority, is under mandate to seek out and speak God's wisdom. Okay, is that what's happening in our land today? I don't see it. I don't think so. It's every decision being made right now. You can go, and if you want to take the time, I know many of us don't have it or just don't desire to do it because it's often painful to watch and listen to. But I go to these things and watch the UN speakers, their sessions. I listen to them. The World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and you listen to these people, the Club of Rome and all these different things, and you can find them on YouTube. You go there and you listen to these things, and then you go and you listen to our nightly news. You hear the decisions being made by our government, by our leaders, and you're going, wait a minute. I just heard that from these organizations out there that are anti-God, anti-Christian, and all about the New World Order. They say it over and over again. And when you read their documents and stuff, you'll find that this is some sinister stuff going on. So again, I go back to the king, the leadership, the authority, not betraying justice. In verse 11, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. So honest scales and balances, a merchant's honesty said something about his heart, resulting in correct measures in the customer's bag. All right? They're in the will of God. All right? Merchants that practice deceptive practices to steal from their customers had rejected God's wisdom. Proper motivation for right action comes out of a heart that has been saturated with the wisdom of God. And you're seeing this as corporations align themselves and connect this private government combination is forming, where the retailers will become an instrument of the government, okay? And the retailers will be used to bring about submission to the things of the government. You don't wear a mask, you don't get food. You don't wear a mask, you don't travel. You don't wear a mask, you have no entry. I mean, you're seeing this. Understand, this is not a health issue. A face covering of any type does not prevent the spread of a COVID virus. Oh, anyway. All right, so Proverbs 16, verse 3, 6, and 7. Commit to the Lord, and this is blessing assured. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit total trust and submission to the will of God. Establish your plans, then he will fulfill your righteous plan. Again, what plans are they? The plans that are fulfilled are those that are righteous, those that are in line with his will. Our plans often and most times we're challenged to not want our stuff versus his stuff. Verse 6, though through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Though through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So sin is atoned. So the blessing of God, the blessings of God, his mercy and his truth affects the atonement or covering of sin. It's about him, folks. Don't forget that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Evil is avoided. His covering, our sin, inclines the believing sinner, we're all believing sinners, to depart from evil. So we steer away from it. We don't run to it. We because if we're living in his wisdom and his guidance and his spirit and we're into it and we recognize his truth, then guess what? We're more likely to recognize what's happening around us. Again, the battle between Satan and God is occurring right now. We're on the battlefield. We're in the midst of it. And we have to recognize that everything that's happening around us is about this battle and where it's leading. It's the battle of Armageddon, Satan coming against the second coming of Christ. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. So this is a general rule. It does not preclude persecution from some. So obviously, because this is where, based on the verses we've already read, we know that persecution is coming to the church in America, to its people, around the world. Remember, the mark of the beast is coming. All right, so the general rule, and then we look at the believer demonstrates his or her commitment to God by pleasing him, responding to the calling of Jesus Christ, managing and monitoring our motivations, and resting assured that God blesses his people in multiple ways, Romans 8:28, which we know, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So again, all the things that are happening are moving toward his ultimate goal. All right? He's moving toward his ultimate goal. And remember, he wishes none to perish. Why are we here? Why are we here at this time? Why are you and I here at this time? We're here to occupy the land until he returns. We're here to share the gospel message. We're here to scatter seed, as much seed as we can, helping people understand the love that God has for them, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what's happening, folks. It's, the blessing is assured. We have to commit to it. We have to commit to our calling and what we're to be about in these last days. And we are in those last days. And we have to recognize that we are called to be warriors in the battle between Satan and God. And we are called to be the warriors. But understand, the victory has been won. All right? Jesus has overcome death. Where's your sting, death? Oh, that's right. Jesus has overcome it. He's destroyed it. We are victors. We have power. Think about Satan being cast into the final bottomless pit. It was an angel. Poof, hey, cast him on in there. Get it done. We have power, but we don't use it. And we are called to be powerful in these last days. Our attitudes and our behaviors are to show the power we have in Jesus Christ and the blessings we have in Jesus Christ and the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to understand that this is where we are, and our attitudes and our behaviors are going to be critical in the last days. We bend our knee to Jesus Christ. Believers demonstrate wisdom by seeking to please God in all they do. All people are accountable to the sovereign God, all people. Blessing God is born out of a right relationship with him and is seen in right attitudes and actions. God's blessing on those who please him are seen in him, giving stability, rescuing from sin, and peaceful relationships with others. I hope we understand the times that we're in. All right. We're here for such a time as this. Each of us are here for such a time as this. We have a burden for those that have yet to know and come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We have a burden. We should be burdened right now because things are escalating daily, and we need to be have that sense of urgency in our hearts for those that have yet, our family members, our friends that have yet to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And don't feel guilt when that doesn't happen. Remember, they rejected Jesus Christ. Even after all the miracles they saw, everything that they saw and witnessed, they still prefer the darkness over the light. And we know that. Our job is just to share. To scatter as much seed as we can and keep throwing out a seed. Keep throwing out a seed. And pray like we've never prayed before. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you again for the opportunity we have to study your word, to go deeper into understanding. Lord, to seek more diligently your wisdom and guidance in these days that we find ourselves, that our attitudes and our actions, our behaviors will be in line with your will. Lord, let us study and pray upon your word each and every day. May we have a burden in our hearts for those that have yet to come to you as their Lord and Savior, have not confessed that they are a sinful creature in need of a Savior. If they don't know their sin, how and why would they seek a Savior? Let us be about your work each and every day. Let's guide as many people as we can to your word and to your spirit and to your truth, that many, many more will be saved by your and be blessed in the coming days, that they will have eternal life in the presence of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you again for all that you've done for us, the grace that you've extended to us, the mercies that are new each and every day, and the love that you express through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the victory we have through him in his finished and completed work. And it's in his most powerful and holy name we pray, the name above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, folks. And we'll see you again real soon, as always. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers.